This morning, two things, as you probably may have gathered from the reading that you've already heard. One of them is the rolling thunder of God's voice when He speaks. And the other is the Lord God omnipotent reigns. John said so in the book of Revelation in the reading a few minutes ago. God thunders. And He has the authority behind that thunder because the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Because of that, the church is still in existence today, protected by His mighty power. And so then, the God of glory thundereth. I'd like to add this verse to that. The God of glory thundereth, even Jehovah upon many waters. The voice of Jehovah is powerful. The voice of Jehovah is full of majesty. There's something a bit sad about that. It's glorious. But the sad thing that I think of is that so many people clap their hands over their ears, will not hear it. Thunder is loud, He may. But God doesn't always speak in a thundering voice. Sometimes our wonderful Father speaks in a little quiet voice, like a whisper. 1 Kings 19 and verse 12, He spoke to His prophet Elijah in a wee, small, quiet, whispering voice. We need to listen to God, whether it's thundering or whether it's a whispering voice in our ear. And of course, He does that in the Word of God, the written Word of God. When I've read the Bible, and I have for many years, I've thought about what the saddest moment in history ever was. Brother Martell Pace and I were at breakfast yesterday morning, we were discussing this. I asked him, I said, what is the saddest moment in history to you, and what is the saddest words of God? Well, he told me a couple of things. I said, well, I just won't know if I agreed with you because I'm a little different. I think, and I want to impress upon your mind this morning, the reason that Genesis, the 6th chapter and verse 4, is the saddest moment in all of history. You know what that is? God looked down upon the world, and every thought and every imagination in man's heart was continually wicked. And then following that is the saddest verse in all the Bible. When God said, can you imagine this? It repented me that I made man. But you cannot, whether it be all in the world but seven souls, or whether it be a few or whatever, you cannot ignore the Word of God, because the Lord God Almighty reigns. And when this happened and He looked down upon the earth, God's rolling thunder covered the whole earth, and He wiped the earth clean of all the sin and corruption. God will do that again. He does it all the time. It's done by the Jesus Christ and His blood for Christians. But there is a day coming for those that would clap their hands over their ears, and we will not hear the thunder of God. There is a place waiting for those. When God speaks and man rebels, there's always consequences. The Jews have been in captivity, Egyptian captivity, for over 400 years. The time came when God wanted to free them. He came to Moses out there in the desert someplace and appeared to him in a burning bush and said, I'm sending you back to Pharaoh. Scared Moses to death. And he began to offer all kinds of excuses. But when God says, God convinces. So Moses went to Pharaoh after a lot of excuses. He marched before the throne that he had left many years ago. And he says, the God of heaven, the Lord of heaven, says, let my people go. That has the roar of thunder in it. Talking to an important potentate, one of the greatest on earth at the time, with armies and armies and armies. Let my people go. He replied, who is the Lord that I should serve Him? And when that happened and he hardened his heart, the thunder rolled throughout all of Egypt. And there came upon them some of the awfulest plagues that you can read about. Disobeying God in rebellion against it, clap your hands over your ears or not, always has its consequences. We can go further in history. When God decided, after he called them out of Egyptian bondage and gave them at Mount Sinai the great Ten Commandments, remember that Mount Sinai was thundering and quaking when he did this. And when the very first commandment was, and they are in the midst of idolatry, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen at the rolling thunder. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And then he added, neither shalt thou bow down to them. First commandment. And yet Israel ignored God, bowed to the gods, and the thunder of God rolled. When Nebuchadnezzar brought his armies against them and carried them down into 70 years of captivity. When God speaks, whether it's in a whisper or whether it's in roaring thunder, if you rebel, ignore it, it always has its consequences. But almighty Babylon, with all of their armies and their strength and their pomp and ceremony of the time that came against Israel, and God allowed them to break the walls of Jerusalem because of their disobedience. Also, that mighty head of gold that Daniel spoke about was to be brought low. Because eventually, because of their wickedness, and I think also because of old Belshazzar and his impudence, there he was throwing a big party. And what did they have at the party? What was the setup? All of the wonderful vessels from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and he was drinking all of them. And suddenly he was drinking. To me, he was probably a little tipsy. But as he was drinking, he saw something on the wall. Many, many tekel upharsin. The thundering voice. I think it might have been in a whisper here, but he read it. You are weighed in the balances, and you're found wanting. And then the thunder happened because the Persian troops, the horses, thundered through the streets. And Babylon bowed its head, the head of gold, never to be again. Then came the Greeks and the invincible Romans in 63 B.C. The invincible Romans that was conquering the world, that marched into Jerusalem and then rule them with iron fists dripping with the blood of the saints. Goodness, it looked like it was all over. It looked like that evil had won. Then a nobody as far as on the world scene, the last apostle, the prisoner on Patmos, took up his pen and thundered this epitaph. Babylon the great is fallen. Well, Babylon had already fallen, but he's talking about Rome. Babylon the great is fallen. You cannot defy God, though it may take years of God's long sufferings. You cannot defy God, stubborn as you might be, arrogant as you might be, and not suffer the consequences. In 476, Caesar's empire crashed into the dust along with all the nations that had ever mocked God. Rome, never to rise again. Yet, the ones they persecuted, the ones they hated, the Church of Christ, lived on. And here we are today because the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Well, John saw in the dark hour that the Caesars could not see what the Caesars could not see in broad daylight. And that's what I just said. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. There was no one more sure of this than Jesus Christ himself. Shortly after his personal ministry began, he called his disciples unto himself and sent them out on a limited commission. Go not to the way of the Gentiles. Go to the Jews. Let's give them the first choice. And he gave them power over unclean spirits, and he sent them out. And when they came back, they said, "Lord, you should have been with us." Of course, I'm paraphrasing. He said, "When we got out there," said, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk. You can't imagine all of these things that happened where we were preaching. And Jesus said, "Behold, I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning." Well, there's lightning, there's thunder in there. Jesus then was absolutely sure that the Lord God omnipotent reigned. Now, we knowing that fact this morning, a serious thing confronts us as we as Christians are here called to this time in this world at this moment. What is the biggest thing in life to you? Someone may answer, "Well, it's my home. I love my home. I love my wife." That's wonderful. We couldn't criticize that for somebody really loving it. Somebody else says, "It's my work. I'm really involved in my work, and I don't know what I would do with it." That's great, too. Well, what about health and happiness? That, to me, is great. But I think I know Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer is great as they were, and no one elevated the home any more than him. Worked as hard, any harder than he did, and so on. But I think that Jesus' answer would be what we've been talking about. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. The great conceivable final fact, beloved, is God. He lies behind every last breath. And he lies behind every last heartbeat. The last thought that you'll ever have. And Paul the Apostle summed it up this way. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. You can't sum it up any better than that. When we think about this, what does it release us from? Well, it should release us from petty worries. You know that old grain of sand that gets in your shoe? You can't climb the mountain before you, not because of the mountain, but because you've got just that silly little petty worry, that grain of sand in your shoe, the gritty little things of daily irritations that tend to wear a Christian down. But not only is it the end of petty worries, or should be, it means the end or the release of being afraid of failure. What I mean by that is, during the Christian life, and something faces you of losing nerve and saying, "Lord, I just can't do that. That's too big for me. I'm not up to it." Well, I call your attention to Moses. That's exactly what he said when the Lord was sending him back to the greatest ruler on the earth and wanted him to say to him what God intended for him to say. God has called us, the church, and the pillar of the ground of the truth, to say to this world, this nation, this community, the same thing, the decree of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of written word. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth in every age, and so we're here because of that, and God protects us because of that. But not only those, it defeats also evil. Listen to this. Revelation was written against a background of evil and martyrdom and suffering with no seeming possible escape. It seems that John would have said, instead of what he said, "Sorry, folks, it's all over, and looks like evil's won." But no, he rocked the world with this boom of rolling thunder when he announced the final judgment, saying, "Those rebellious against God are destined to be cast alive and the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Why? Because John saw something beyond the evil Caesars. And we got to too. It gets foggy. It was foggy for them. And all behind all the fog and the sweat and the under the slave of the lash on Patmos, John saw the omnipotent power of God when he was suffering daily as a slave. And some people say the copper mines of Patmos. Well, oh, for a faith like that. I'm like the fellow that said, Lord, I have faith. I pray for more faith. Well, that's what we got to do. So then, it means the release of petty worries from fears, the defeat of evil, and finally, for my moment this morning, it means comfort to the soul in the bleak moments of life. Listen to David in Psalms 29 and verse 3. Now, David is thinking back when there was a terrible flood on the earth, and he's writing about it. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. And so he does today. And we pray, Lord, open thy servant's eyes that we might see the Lord God omnipotent reigns. So, beloved, we sang a wonderful song this morning, you know, just before, I hear the rolling thunder. That rolling thunder was the thunder in the sky, but the inspired writers used that. If that gets your attention, then the Word of God should get your attention like that. We're here this morning, though we didn't sing this song, it came to my mind. The Lord God omnipotent, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor over the dark domains, and he lives forever. Death he overcame. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And that's what we come here to take the Lord's Supper for. If you are not yet a Christian, just know this, that there are two graves that are waiting for you. One of those graves is optional because you have a choice. The other is not optional. You have no choice. There is the grave of water baptism for the man of sin that you can bury him in and serve God. Now, you have a choice with that. But the wrong choice can be extremely fatal for eternal life. Now, the other grave is the grave for your body at death. And you have no choice over that, Hebrews 9:27. But listen to John as he closes God's Bible. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. If you're going to die physically, but if you take place in that first death of the man of sin and you have part in that first resurrection to rise to walk in innocent life, don't worry about the second death eternal in hell. If you live faithful to death, you're going to make it. If by faith you choose to bury your old person of sin in baptism, Jesus then by his omnipotent power will raise you to walk in a new life, and later, some great day, he will resurrect you, give you a new body in which to live in happiness forever. Now we close, so listen to this. Blessed is he who can hear the rolling thunder of God in Jesus Christ as he inspires Mark to say these words. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then the thunder rolls. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, we're preaching the gospel here this morning, and you're listening to that very verse, the last words we have of Jesus Christ on earth. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, the world has its ears closed to that. But how about your ears? Can you open your ears to that if you need to, if you haven't obeyed the gospel? Perhaps then, too, you may have erred. You may have brought reproach upon the church. You may have been sinning in some way. Now, what sins should be confessed in church? Well, there's private sins. I remember Brother Hardiman saying, if you said some ugly words to your old mule out on the farm, said he's the only one who knows anything about it. Said, you don't need to go before church for that. Just be sorry yourself. Repent yourself. So there's sins that are private, and maybe in your own home, or you and your wife, make it right. But there's sins that get out of hand, and they get public. And they said, well, if he goes to that church, I don't want to go to it, you know. That kind of sin needs to be made right. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation, either to be baptized for the remission of sins, or if you'd like to come and we'd pray with you and for you, we'll be happy to do that as we stand and sing.